Please be seated. I want to welcome everyone to the service of worship today, and please have a wonderful Canada Day tomorrow. We were out at the beach yesterday, and it looks like the weather's going to be wonderful for outdoor activities for anyone who wants to enjoy them. Also, thank you for showing your red and white colors today, and a big thank you for the $439 that was collected last week to support the One Burlington Celebrating Faith and Culture event that happens the Civic Holiday Monday in August. I believe it's the 5th. Also, during the summer months, we're going to be listening to some temporary Christian radio music before the service. The Vision Lead Team and the Worship Committee have both read a book called Fishing Tips, or at least the worship chapter, which is about a United Church in Calgary that went from almost closing its doors to be a vibrant, active church again. And the organist in Calgary wondered why he was playing a long prelude, because everyone was always talking and catching up with their neighbors, which the church decided was a very good thing. And so they switched to playing more contemporary music before the service started. Easy listening music people might hear in a local coffee shop or cafe. So the Applebee Worship Committee has decided to give it a try. And the acoustic praise station is a mix of light, contemporary praise music that aims at being both relaxing and meaningful. I think a side benefit also is if younger new people walk in, they'll maybe feel a little more at ease because the music is closer to what they listen to throughout the week at work, at home, or in a cafe. Also, please take your bulletin home with you so that you have the names and phone numbers of those covering in case of pastoral emergencies while I'm away. And please warmly welcome all those who are doing services during July. And next week, Joanne West and Ron Mellish will be doing this service. Please remember that our services are very informal in the summer, so if you feel particularly welcoming and you get here a little early, feel free to stand at the door and shake people's hands and welcome them, because there's no assigned greeters or ushers. And when it is time for the collection and you don't see anyone else moving, feel free to enthusiastically jump up to get the collection. So anyway, it's just as the Spirit moves you, be an usher and greeter through the summer months. And speaking of summer, with Vacation Bible Camp coming, Evelyn has an announcement for us.
Good morning. Happy Canada Day. It's wonderful to see all that red and white out there, isn't it? It's amazing. So you know that Vacation Bible Camp is coming up on August 12th. And our theme this year is To Mars and Beyond. Along the journey, the kids will be stopping at 4 space stations. And I'm the commander, or one of the commanders, of Space Station Craft. So one of the things they're going to make while they're at Space Station Craft, robots. Pencil holder, actually. So, what we need are 40 tins, vegetable tins or soup tins, and if you could, I'm going to leave a box by the wagon out there, if you could wash them and take the labels off them, and we're going to put things on them, bolts and nuts and felt things. So, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and that looks like cool robots. You may hear other announcements about Vacation Bible Camp through the weeks. Are there any other celebrations or concerns for the community of faith this morning? the Christ candle, we welcome Jesus' presence into our midst. And through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship. Let us now acknowledge God's presence through a call to worship. Through prophets, rulers, and leaders, through disciples and apostles and followers, through saints and reformers and mystics, through you and me and us, come, let us worship God and continue the story. Let us pray. God of wisdom and wonder, we gather in this place as prophets and disciples, as people led by your Spirit, and as humble followers seeking to do your will. Our next hymn is number 291, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Made them.
Please be seated. Reflection time is important in our lives, so we mirror it in our service of worship. So we now have a time of reflection and saying, I'm sorry. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Yet at times we use our freedom for self-indulgence. You have called us to love one another, and yet sometimes it seems we would rather snap at one another. Often we would rather be guided by what we want rather than what you want. Transform us by your Spirit and make us new. Take a moment to bring your own thoughts and prayers for Canada to God. Amen. Let us take a moment to be assured of God's never-ending love for us and the world. God picks us up and never wants to let go. Go renewed with a new affirmed purpose and a new freedom for life. Amen. Our first scripture lesson today is a story from the Old Testament, from the people of Israel. It is from 2 Kings, beginning at the 5th chapter. And it's the story of how Nahum is cured. You might think of leprosy. It was mentioned it was a skin disease. But what you need to know is that Syria, Nahum is a commander of the Syrian army, and Syria and Israel have been in an uneasy peace for a number of years at this time, but traditionally they are more enemies than friends. Nahum, the commander of the Syrian army, was highly respected and esteemed by the king of Syria because through Nahum the Lord had given victory to the Syrian forces. But he was a great soldier, but he suffered from a dreaded skin disease. In one of their raids against Israel, the Syrians had carried off a little Israelite girl who became a servant of Nahum's wife. One day she said to her mistress, "I wish that my master could go to the prophet who lives in Samaria. He would cure him of his disease." When Nahum heard this, he went to the king and told him of what the girl had said, and the king said, "Go to the king of Israel and take this letter to him." So Nahum sent out, taking 30,000 pieces of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of fine clothes. The letter that he took read, "This letter will introduce my officer, Nahum. I want you to cure him of his disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and exclaimed, "How can the king of Syria expect me to cure this man? Does he think that I am God with the power of life and death? It is plain he is trying to start a quarrel with me." When the prophet Elisha heard what had happened, he sent a word to the king. "Why are you so upset? Send the man to me, and I'll show him there is a prophet in Israel." So Nahum went with his horses and chariots and stood at the entrance to Elisha's house. Elisha sent a servant out to him to go and wash 7 times in the Jordan River, and he would be completely cured of his disease. But Nahum left in a rage, saying, "I thought he would at least come out to me, pray to the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the disease spot and cure me. Besides, aren't the river of Abana and Pharpar back in Damascus better than any river in Israel? I could have washed in them and been cured." His servants went up to him and said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something difficult, you would have done it. Now, why can't you just wash yourself as he said and be cured?" So Nahum went down to the Jordan River, dipped himself in it 7 times as Elisha had instructed, and he was completely cured. His flesh became firm and healthy like that of a child. He returned to Elisha with all his men and said, "Now I know there is no God but the God of Israel. So please, sir, accept this gift from me." And Elisha answered, "By the living Lord whom I serve, I swear that I will not accept a gift." Nahum insisted that he accept it, but he would not. So Nahum said, "If you won't accept my gift, then let me have 2 mule loads of earth to take home with me, because from now on I will not offer sacrifices or burnt offerings to any god except the Lord. So I hope the Lord will forgive me when I accompany my king to the temple of Rimmon, the god of Syria, and worship him. Surely the Lord will forgive me." "Go in peace," Elisha said, and Nahum left. And our gospel lesson is from Luke. And I've added another section, which is on the screen, beginning at verse 49, "Whoever is not against you is for you." And then a Samaritan village refuses to receive Jesus. John spoke up, "Master, we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and he would not stop because he doesn't belong to our group." "We told him to stop because he doesn't belong to our group." "Do not try and stop him," Jesus said to him and to the other disciples, "because whoever is not against you is for you." And as the time drew near when Jesus would be taken up to heaven, he made up his mind and set on his way to Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead of him who went into a village in Samaria to get everything ready for him. But the people there would not receive him because it was clear that he was on his way to Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them?" And Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then Jesus and his disciples went on to another village. Thanks be to God for these words. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you think Canada is a great place to live? Anybody think Canada is a... Thank you. Absolutely. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is Canada, everyone is welcome. And I thank you for coming on such a beautiful, beautiful day. It's easy to be tempted to be outside enjoying the sunshine. Today you are going to learn a little bit about John Wesley, founder of Methodism, Abraham Lincoln, and of course the Queen. And some reflections from Mary Jo Letty on founding myths of Canada that have shaped who we are and how we see the world. Can I tell you a little bit about what I like about Canada? Do you know what's number one on the list? Family, thank you. Universal health care. Anybody like universal health care here? Absolutely, thank you. Regardless of race, color, creed, economic status, we all have access to excellent health care. I don't want to say it's free because I know we pay for it through our taxes, but it's accessible to all. And I think Jesus, who cured a lot of sick people and hung out with people on the margins who obviously could not afford the health care of Jesus' day would be pretty pleased with that. Secondly, I like the fact we tend to be a pretty tolerant people. We're not pushy or shovey. We try and get along. And after graduating from Queens, I went to Kenya for 3 months as a volunteer with Canadian Crossroads. And you would be amazed at the reception you would receive if you had a little red and white Canada pin, you know, on your backpack or on your shirt. I was always amazed by that. And lastly, at least today, I love the outdoors. I've always felt a sense of God's presence outside. Yesterday at the beach, watching the waves come in or watching the sun go down, beautiful sunsets. And I realize that other countries also have nice sunsets, but Canada seems to have an abundance of the great outdoors, and I thoroughly like that for it. A place where you can be still and know that I am God, take a deep breath, and have a sense of God's presence in our midst. So today, I want you to take a moment and share with someone around you or just imagine what you love about Canada and living here. Can you handle that? Try and talk to someone you usually don't talk to. Go for it. So what do you like about Canada, Ian? You obviously came here from somewhere else, so you weren't born here. Really? Yeah. Yeah, your brother went, you know? Yeah. Absolutely. And it's cool you got to go see your brother. I mean, I've never been to South Africa, but that would have been awesome. Not to mention just to catch up. I don't think you've seen him for a while. Well, that's cool. Please stop. Thank you. You can continue that conversation at Coffee and Conversation, saying hello to people. Does anybody want to shout out in a word or two? What do you like about Canada?
Everything.
Thank you. Anything else? No guns like the States. Thank you. Gun control. Freedom. Thank you. Anything else? Algonquin Park. Thank you. Does anybody do any canoeing, maybe, you know? Awesome. Tim Hortons. Amen. Maybe we'll go there after church for our coffee today. I love that. Tim Hortons. I like being a Canadian and feel blessed in the lottery of life that I was born here and have a Canadian passport that is well received around the world. Now, the past few weeks, I've enjoyed collecting newspaper articles that reflect the goodness of Canada. I'm also enjoying reading Mary Jo Letty's book, Why We Are Here, A Meditation on Canada. Now, one of the newspaper articles, it was just a little clip on the opinion page, and it said, "My Canada is great," on the editorial page. It was a comment on another article, but I couldn't find the original article. Jackie Dabbs from Grimsby said, "Great comments, Sheila. Being in the same financial circumstances as yourself, I don't want or need anything either. We have the very best healthcare professionals in all of Canada, have amazing friends and family, volunteer 2 or 3 days a week, have a great social calendar, active in our church, and I agree, my Canada is great. I think many of you would agree. Then you may have noticed the article on my door a few weeks ago where Justin Trudeau was offering Canadian lumber and steel to help rebuild Notre Dame Cathedral that was destroyed by fire in mid-April. I don't know, it made me feel proud to be a Canadian when I read that article. Now, Mary Jo Leddy's book challenges us to dig a little deeper. She asks us to look at the founding myths that have shaped us as a country. She mentioned the founding myth of the United States being the frontier, wild, wild west. You know, they don't have any gun controls, rugged individualism, and all that. Now, she suggests that for two founding myths for Canada are survival and garrison. Survival. How many of you like Canadian winners? Oh, thank you. Couple do. There you go. Can you imagine a Canadian winter if you didn't have a furnace, and you know that motor that shoots it all around with gas? So think of people who first came here. Survival. Imagine trying to travel through the dense woods without roads or maps. Frightening. And hearing the sounds of the woods. Garrison. What's a garrison? Thank you, a fort. What's it look like? Those early ones? What? Yeah, walls around it. Lumber, trees, and what were the tops like mostly? Spikes. Absolutely. Thank you. What do you think it symbolizes? Safety. Thank you. Anything else?
Colonization.
Colonization. Thank you. Anything else?
Stay
out. Stay out. Thank you. Anything else?
Barbecue.
There you go. It has that reflection of insiders with power and people on the outside trying to get in. She suggested a positive trait born out of the symbols of survival and garrison is that you had to work hard together to achieve common goals. The making of the fort. Trying to stay warm and survive in the winter. Clear the fields, plow the land. A negative image, it's very intimidating to outsiders. Garrisons control who gets in and who gets out. We need to think very hard, both as a country, but also as a church, at making the walls of our garrisons, what is this church like, look like to outsiders, as porous as possible. Now, Mary Jo suggested to get a true picture of Canada, you need to ask people on the margins, people on the outside. Now, she suggests two of those are Indigenous Canadians and recently arrived immigrants. Remembering we're almost all immigrants to Canada at one time or another. Now, listening to people on the margins, where do you think we've heard that before? Have you heard that theme before? What about Scripture? Jesus often hung out with people on the margins. And when he mentions this story of Elisha curing Nahum, a Syrian, in his hometown, what happens? Does anybody remember? He's run out of town. They almost push him off the cliff. How dare you say that God loves the foreigner, our enemies, as much as God loves us, or God cares for them as much as God cares for us? It also fits with the Israelite understanding of kingship, at least by the prophets. The king was to look after the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner in your midst. It's a theme that reverberates throughout Scripture. Kings were not just to look after themselves, and neither were the Israelites. What kind of country, what kind of person do you want to be? Our passage from Luke is a very interesting one. Did Jews and Samaritans get along in Jesus' day? No, absolutely not. They were like, you know, Syrians. It's a quarrel that went back generations. It went back to a time when the Israelites returned from Babylon to rebuild the temple. And the Samaritans were the descendants of the northern kingdom. And they came to help. And you know what the response was? Get lost. We don't want you. You intermarried. You know? Do you think that was received well? Thus started the long-standing feud, their distant cousins, between the Samaritans and the Jews. Now, most Jews would bypass Samaria on the way to Jerusalem. And in a sense, by going through Samaria, Jesus was extending a hand of friendship to people who were their enemies. Have you ever stuck out your hand to someone and they refused to take it? Wow, that's good. Would it feel very good? No. Jesus' hand of friendship was spurned. And do you remember what James and John wanted to do? What? Thank you. Fire and brimstone. Do you want me to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? What does Jesus do? Thank you. He rebuked them. Nowhere in Scripture is the duty of tolerance more strongly reinforced than this story we have of Jesus this morning. And William Barclay said, of all the greatest religious leaders, none was such a pattern of tolerance than John Wesley. One of the examples was his brother Charles, who wrote lots of our older hymns, entered the Roman Catholic Church. And when he did so, he wrote to him and said, whether in this church or not, or that, I care not. You can be saved in either or damned in either, but I fear you are not born again. Think of that statement for a moment. 1750. How well did Roman Catholics and Protestants get along in 1750? Yeah, you get the picture. Not too well. And John Wesley said, whether this church or that, I care not. Wow. The conviction that our beliefs and our methods alone are correct has been the cause of more tragedy and distress in the church than almost anything else. Remember, whatever your hand finds to do, someone thinks differently. William Barclay went on to say, there are many ways to God, no person or church, and I want to add, or religion, has a monopoly on God's truth. Our tolerance must be based not on indifference, but love. We ought to be tolerant not because we don't care or couldn't care less, but because we look upon one another through the eyes of love. Do you want to hear what Abraham Lincoln said when he was criticized for being too courteous to his enemies? As a matter of fact, he was told his duty was to utterly destroy them. Do you know what he responded? This is amazing. Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friend? Do I not destroy my enemy when I make them my friend? What an amazing statement. No wonder he was a great statement. On the 23rd of May, the Hamilton Spectator gives us much to think about on Canada Day. It was an article entitled, "A Victory Over Hate Speech and the Meaning of the Canadian Dream." It went on to say that the Ontario Supreme Court judge ruled that Dr. Mohamed Fahy was defamed by Kevin Johnston, who used his hate speech website to describe him and the customers who ate at his restaurant as jihadists and who were up to something nefarious. The judge described Johnston's words as a loathsome example of hate speech at its worst, targeting people simply because of their religious beliefs. Does anybody know what nefarious means? Bad. Thank you. I had to look it up. I assume bad. Wicked, evil, abhorrent, depraved, diabolical. And there was a long list of more words. And the day Muhammad received this news, he couldn't wait for his kids to come home from school to tell them. It's not only important to speak out against bullies and bigots, but to stand up to them and hold them accountable for their words and actions. He says, "It's sad when you read the news these days. It feels like the bad guys are always winning." Do you ever feel that way when you read the newspapers, listen to the news? The bad guys are always winning. He says, "Hate has always been with us, but lately the people who hate have grown bolder and bolder. They emerge from the dark corners of the internet where they feel safe and secure to announce and even celebrate their intolerances." Do you want to guess who Muhammad listens to when he feels down or upset? What do you do when you feel down, upset, and discouraged? Anyone? What do you do? Eat. Thank you. Yeah, aren't potato chips wonderful? Anyone else? What do you do?
Meditate.
Thank you. Awesome example. Anything else? Play the guitar, music, wonderful.
Work in the garden.
Work in the garden, absolutely. Work out frustrations.
Call a friend.
Call a friend, awesome examples. Work out, go to the gym. Work out frustrations. Muhammad goes to his computer and listens to Martin Luther King Jr. speeches. He likes them because he are reminded there are people whose dreams are not for their own success, but the betterment of all. King's words serve as a reminder it's not enough for any of us to remain silent in our condemnation of bigotry. In the face of hate, silence is a wink. It says, "I'm fine with what you're doing. Go ahead and push the boundaries a little more." To triumph over hate, Muhammad says we need to have a steady gaze and a firm spine. Most of all, we all need to stand up and speak out against those who would divide and diminish us. If, as is simple in a conversation, you say, "You know, I don't agree with that. I hear lots of great stories about X, Y, and Z people." Canada works best when its people work and live together in community and respect. And we need to keep Canada warm and welcoming. And it's a time of great opportunity for our country, a chance to stand up for what is right and good in the face of increasing intolerance and hate, both in Canada and around the world. Now, I had to laugh this week Because Margot showed me an awesome article on Friday evening. Does anybody know Queen Elizabeth? Thank you. How old is the Queen? Thank you. She's 93. Do you know what she had this week? She had a big party at Buckingham Palace. And the Queen celebrated the contribution of all faith groups to British life at a reception. And she asked a question about the problems faced by their communities, including the rising number of asylum seekers and refugees. And the Queen said she had noticed over the years that food was often a way to bring people together from different faiths and traditions. That, I quote, "a bit of tea and toast goes a long way." What an amazing line. A little bit of tea and what?
Toast.
Awesome. Goes a long way. Canada's a great country. We need to be careful not to let that greatness slip away. There's work to be done. You know, in our passage from Luke today, if you continue to read, it says, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man," or I would say ourselves as well, followers of Jesus, "have no place to" what? "Lay their head." Thank you. To rest. We need to work actively to invite our neighbors, those we know, those we don't know, especially those who are different from us, for a little bit of tea and... Thank you very much. It goes a long way to breaking down barriers and misunderstandings. We need to actively talk about the vision of Canada that we want and actively work to achieve it and not let someone else define it for us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is that soft-covered hymn book, number 135, "Called by Earth and Sky," 135.
Called by earth and sky, promise of hope held high, this is our sacred living trust, treasure of life sanctified. Called by earth and sky, precious these waters, endless sea, this gift, the air we breathe, wind born and free, breath of the Spirit, move space, our gathering and our grace. Called by earth and sky, promise of hope held high, this is our Savior, these mountains, ancient sands, vast, fragile land, seeds of our awakening, rooted and strong. promise of hope held high. This is our sacred living trust, treasure of life sanctified, called by earth and sky. Precious the fire that lights our way,
Please be seated. Today we give thanks for Canada and give thanks for God's love and grace that is shown, showered upon us through the stories of Jesus and Appleby United Church as we try to live out those stories in our lives. So we give thanks for these wonderful gifts through our morning's offering. Your great love for us, O God, we express our love for your church and others through the bringing of these gifts. Accept them in our lives, we pray. Enable us to use these gifts in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for this great country called Canada, our home and native land. We thank you for gentle breezes, the change of the color of the leaves, and freedoms we often take for granted. The freedom of religion, freedom of expression, free to walk down the street and say hello to our neighbors. We realize, oh God, that Canada isn't perfect, and we still need to work on shaping this country the way we want it to be. That hate speech and expression will not be tolerated. Looking seriously into the murdered and missing Indigenous women report. Taking seriously the reports on climate change and climate change. Mary Jo Leddy has challenged us to look at our founding myths of survival, garrison, and being a colony, to take seriously the challenge of not being shaped by others, but by examining ourselves and seeing what kind of country we want to continue to be and actively work towards it. We thank you for the example of Queen Elizabeth, that a little bit of tea and toast go a long way to making a new friend, to understanding neighbors whose faith and culture are different than our own. Thank you for the efforts of One Burlington to provide a platform to help this to happen. A safe place to celebrate, share some food, see cultural performances, and get to know our neighbors. We ask your blessing upon it. While Canada isn't perfect, O God, we thank you for the good start our ancestors gave us, and help us not to take the things we have for granted, but continue to work towards a Canada that is glorious and free. This we ask in Jesus' name, who taught us to dream together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is 120 in Voices United, the hardcovered hymn book, O Jesus, I Have Promised, 120.
Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. Remain forever near me, my Savior and my friend. I shall not fear the journey if you are by my side, nor wander from the pathway if you will be my guide. Oh, let me feel you near me. The world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, then draw nearer and shield my soul from sin. Oh, let me hear you speaking in accents clear and still. Above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Now speak and make me listen, O guardian of my soul. Oh, Jesus, you have promised to all who follow you that where you are in glory, your servant shall be too. And
Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my Savior and my friend.
This is the moment for which we have been called together. The moment when, enriched by the community of faith, strengthened by one another's love, and challenged by God's word, supported by the Holy Spirit, we go forth to live God's love in our world.
It only takes a spark to get a fire.
Handshake to give them the courage to pass on God's love and grace in the coming week.